Over the past few years, we've been looking at different types of research that have been carried out, looking at the cost of sight loss. It can vary between people who are blind or partially sighted, and vary due to age groups as well. But the common theme seems to be that with sight loss comes extra expense. The Thomas Pocklington Trust, along with Loughborough University, has been looking at this, and we have with us Catherine Hill to tell us a little bit more and how you can get involved in a brand new study. Catherine, we've spoken before a bit about the cost of sight loss. We're talking about the financial cost here. Just remind us a little bit about the research that's been carried out so far and who you've been looking at.
Yes, Alan. We've been doing some research over the last couple of years now with Thomas Pocklington Trust, and we use our method of looking at what people need to have a minimum acceptable standard of living and what extra costs people have because of their sight loss. We initially started with a simple case of looking at the needs of somebody who was under 65 and lives alone, who was sight impaired but still had some usable sight. And that found that the weekly costs increased by about 25% compared to someone with no sight loss. The next thing we did a year later was look at what difference does it make in two different scenarios. So firstly, with somebody of the same age, so again under 65, who has a more severe level of sight loss with little or no sight. And we found that the costs increase even more, and in that scenario they needed 60% more than someone with no sight loss. And the other aspect we looked at last year alongside this was seeing what difference does it make relating to age. So we looked at somebody who was the same type of sight loss as the first example, so with just sight impairment but with some usable sight, but who was older, in this case someone who was over 65. And we found for them that the cost increased by around 40% more. So from there we can see that there's a difference of having some level of sight loss, but the more severe it is and the older that somebody is, the more costs are involved.
Were there any reasons for these increases in cost, or any specific increases that you could show, you know, things like maybe travel or you know, having to pay for people to help with cleaning, etc.?
Yes, the cost varied, but some of the costs that added more to the budget were things like regular weekly costs, for example, where people needed help with cleaning, or as you mentioned, additional travel. Those sorts of things that occur on a weekly basis did add more to the budget. Other costs could be considerable, for example, for a piece of equipment, but the way we work the budget is it is averaged over the lifetime of an item, so those wouldn't necessarily add a lot on per week when the lifetime of an item is worked out.
Were there any surprises in this research, or did it confirm some thoughts that you know already said there is an increased cost?
I wouldn't have thought there'd be any surprises to people who have sight loss themselves, but I think with this it does bring out that it's not just the obvious things, for example, like magnifiers, that bring additional costs. Because this research and the baseline we use is being able to have an acceptable standard of living, which includes social participation. So it's things like being able to have a social life, being able to have transport to get out and about, to be able to treat somebody who helps you. People said it was important to be able to buy somebody a drink or a meal from time to time who accompanied them. Now, those sorts of things may be something that people with sight loss themselves experience, but it isn't necessarily something that people would otherwise think of.
But yeah, you think of the emotional side of things, though, being able to participate in everyday life that everyone else does, hugely important when someone is dealing with sight loss and they feel that they can't do things, that they can't have a social life, and that could have a huge impact on someone as well. So having the extra money to deal with that does make a huge difference.
That's right, and that came out of all the groups we've had. There can be a danger of isolation, so being able to get out and about and participate in groups or just meet friends or go out socially was important.
Now, the research itself is continuing, Catherine, and you're looking for some help from some of our listeners. So what's the change this time, and what are you looking for from people?
We are, Alan, yes. This time we're looking at one further group of people. We're looking specifically for people who are age 65 and over and are severely sight impaired, who have little or no sight, people who've acquired sight loss in adulthood or later life, and people who are living independently in the community. How we carry out this research is that we hold focus groups. So we're looking for people to take part in a group and to talk about their views, their experiences. It's completely confidential. We're not asking people to talk about themselves. It's about talking about a case study, a made-up person, but using their experience to draw on.
And is this something which could be carried out over the telephone?
No, it's a focus group. So we're holding groups. It's usually around about eight people in a focus group. So it's a discussion group. So people come to decisions within the group. We're holding three different groups during June. There's one in Birmingham on the 8th of June, one in Bristol on the 16th of June, and one in Leicester on the 29th of June.
Okay, so a few opportunities there in June for people to get involved in this. If someone was thinking, well, yeah, I'd like to take part, how can they do that?
Yes, if anyone's living in those areas and would be interested, we'd like to hear from them. We can provide further information and talk through what's involved. If they'd like to contact us at Loughborough University, the person who's doing this is Lisa Jones. Her telephone number is 01509 223619, or somebody could email, and that is at l.j.jones@lboro.ac.uk.
Catherine, let's hope that many people do take part in this. It is some research which we will follow up here, but for the moment, thank you for speaking with us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you, Alan.